against and what your issues are. And I really, really appreciate you sharing those with us.
All right. Take care.
That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to Heartland Stories interview with Dr. Shakara Tyler. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact Ursula Rudenberg at ursula@pacifica.org. This week's producer was yours truly, Charlie Knorr. Thank you for listening and see you next week on Sprouts.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are, whatever time zone you're in, day or night. On Earth, if you're listening to KBOO.FM or Spotify, or good morning. This is your twice monthly show, Culture in Motion. If you're listening to terrestrial radio, KBOO. Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, where we're broadcasting from. I'm your host, Mike Crenshaw. My co-host, Ryan Danley, is up to some other things right now. But this evening on Culture in Motion, where we talk about the intersection between art, culture, music, politics, and activism, we have a very special guest, one of my favorite artists in Portland. I'm not going to call you a local rapper because the work that we do actually has global impact. But we both happen to live in the city. Mike Capes, welcome to the show, man.
What's up with it, man? I appreciate y'all having me, man.
Yeah, man, it's been a minute. So I, you know, admire your work. You've been busy. You're one of the more prolific people in terms of when people think about good Portland hip hop, your name always comes up. So I always bump into people who are like, you heard of Mike Capes? I'm always proud to say that you're repping. Doing what you do. How long have you been doing what you do as an MC?
Well, man, I've been writing raps probably since sixth grade, so 11. But like performing like professionally and all of that, I'd say 16, 17 since then. So it's been a while, man. It's something I picked up out of self-preservation. So it's been a journey, bro. I just started out rapping to get my thoughts out, and then from there I caught a passion for it, so
okay,
kept going.
So you, when you started rapping, did you start just writing the beats, or did you start freestyling? Like, what got you to figure out that you had a gift and a skill?
Okay, so like in fifth grade I was writing poetry. I was in like this program called TAG, Talented and Gifted, that Portland Public Schools had.
Yeah.
And then in sixth grade, I was in a foster home, and there was an older kid there that was rapping, and I was watching him, and I was like, man, I could do that. I think I could do that. So I started trying to write raps. That's before I knew how to, like, break down a bar or anything. And, and at that same time, I started listening to a lot of Tupac heavy. Mm-hmm. And from there, I was like, man, I could – there's somebody that's talking about stuff that I'm actually going through, mm-hmm. or just real stuff I could relate to. So I started writing that way in sixth grade, and that's when – I started doing it.
Are you born and raised in Portland?
Yeah, born and raised.
Are you like some of the other artists that live here or might have moved on, that have gone and lived outside of the city for a while and then come back?
Nah, I've never lived outside of the city, bro.
Okay.
So one day.
17 years. When you first started doing this, you said it was more like catharsis, a way for you to...
Yeah.
Kind of release. But around, at what point did you start having specific dreams where you were able to look at the future on a timeline and visualize certain things that you wanted to accomplish?
I would definitely say once I graduated high school, because my football has always ran just as strong as music for me. So football, like I say, from fourth grade all the way through, I say senior year, football was the stronger thing, but I always was writing at the same time. But I'd say that I started taking it serious, like I say 19.
Okay.
I was putting like little demos and stuff out in high school, but after that is when I started trying to record like real music and make music.
Yeah. So at 19, you start taking it serious, and how old are you now?
I'm 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many releases have you put out?
Let me think, man. Rise and Grind, Concrete Dream, Sheesh, Cold Blooded. These are all of my own, I'd say. Five? Yeah.
So five full lengths?
Yeah, on my own.
Uh-huh.
But I was in a group I was in a group during high school and a little bit after that too.
Yeah. What was the name of the group? The Resistance?
Oh, no, that was more like adulthood. That was like more so like 22. But like in high school is this group called Turf Noise.
Okay.
And Turf Bangers, and the name was Turf Bangers, talking about like turf meaning like where you from, and bangers the quality of music, and we put that together. And then it was just me and high school friends, you know, me, Vinny Dwayne, Glenn Waco, P Hyfe, and my homeboy Kid, and we was all in the same camp.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. So for our listeners out there, I know a lot of people are gonna be familiar with you. For people who aren't familiar with you, where can they find you online?
Well, you can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, all Mike Capes Raps, except for Facebook. You can just type in Mike Capes, but you can find me on all of those. You can find music on Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp, Tidal, all of the major platforms.
So now that we've gotten some of the, I guess, more superficial, not superficial in that, you know, we hear your personal history with the art, that's not superficial at all, but some of the more, I guess, informational aspects out of the way, I want to go a little bit deeper with you and talk about, you know, the pandemic and Black Lives Matter.
And, okay.
You know, where, how that's impacted or influenced your consciousness. So let's start with the pandemic. Like, we've all, as a human race, gone through something together that's somewhat unprecedented. Even yeah. though we're all going through life, experiencing life as humanity, sometimes we imagine that we're separate from each other. So I do feel like this has forced us in a way that I can't recall in my own lifetime to recognize our collective kind of vulnerability and mortality. So that's one of the things I've been thinking about. How has the pandemic impacted you as an artist, you as a man?
So around the pandemic, when it first started, I got married March 1st. Then like a week later, literally everything started shutting down. So it impacted me. Like, it kind of sped up the process of learning how to be a husband. You know what I mean? Like being trapped in, not trapped, but being in a house with your spouse with way, way more time than you have ever been used to. You know what I mean? So it was a lot of like fast track learning I had to do with that, along with not being able to do shows as far as income. Cause before the pandemic, I was doing a lot of shows in the city and then some outside. So that, but also, man, just, it was a lot going on because my dad was sick with cancer, so I was dealing with that as well, a lot of family stuff. So I feel like it made me feel more isolated than anything, the pandemic. But it also made me think about what things really matter.
Right.
And, you know, I think before the pandemic, I was way more into what was going on outside of my world, you know what I mean? Socially, and I still am, but like the pandemic made that shrink into like, all right, what's priorities? And that was just being married and also my family.
Okay.
So.
And was there employment or income that you're bringing in addition to music or other than music?
Yeah, so I work at Roosevelt High School for this program called Step Up. It's a mentoring program. So that still kept going, but it was online, so it changed the job dramatically. That's what I had to adjust to, like not as much real human contact, you know what I mean?
And then did you, as an artist, did you find that you were able to be more focused on creating because you were at the house more? Were you in the studio more, or?
I feel like initially, yeah. Initially, I was here doing like this thing called Mike Case Mondays. Every Monday, I would put out like, you know, a free verse or whatever. But I hit a wall when I want to say, I think it was George Floyd.
Yeah.
He passed away, bro, or when he was murdered. I hit a wall right there, bro, and I just didn't feel like rapping that much after that. Huh?
So you got a almost like a writer's block?
Not a writer. It was like emotional. You know what I mean? More so like, bro, like all I could talk about is this right now.
Yeah, okay.
And I was in the middle of working on a project and stuff like that, so all I could think about was like that, because I seen the video and things like that.
You didn't channel a lot of that energy into actual songs, though.
Some. I did a couple of the Mike Case Mondays, and then I did write a couple songs, but like it stopped me up for maybe like 2 months. Because I was just, you know, it was more so like, man, is rap important right now? You know what I mean? In that moment.
I hear you. I remember seeing you under the St. John's Bridge around the time the fires were going on.
Yeah.
I was walking to an event where we were performing. It was like a Black and Indigenous solidarity event.
Yeah, I remember that too. Yeah.
I think the only time a lot of folks have been asking me when we're going to do something together.
Mm-hmm.
We rocked a couple stages. The only thing I can think of that where we collaborated on the same song is that Cool Nuts Black Music song.
Right, right. Dang.
Which is a banger, though. I do love it. I was actually listening to that recently on a road trip. But you recently, so you've got a couple, I saw a recent video with Vinny DeWayne, correct?
Yeah.
What's the name of that one?
It's called Collision.
Collision. And then you just released a single that I actually haven't heard. I've just seen it floating on the, you know, the socials.
Yeah.
So tell the audience, tell our listeners about that. What is that?
So that song is called What Would Johnny Do? My dad's name is Johnny. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? But I just abbreviated WWJD. And the song is pretty much dedicated to what my dad taught me through what he told me and through his actions. And then, because the project that is coming off of is called In Spite Of ... So it's pretty much the last things within the last 3 years, but like that one's dedicated to my dad, bro, and it's pretty much a reminder of how to keep, you know, proceeding through what's going on, you know what I mean, whether that's family drama or whether that's, you know, the world at large.
Right.
Yeah.
I've had to reflect, you know, I'm older, you know, I'll be 51 in a couple weeks, but I'm still growing, bro, so I'm still reflecting a lot on like better ways to respond and how to not react as much. And just trying to, you know, learn from the decades of living, you know? And I think that's one of the things that does come with age that I wasn't as aware of. Like we all expect, you know, wisdom to come with age, but it's a trip to actually look back and have a different perspective on how you live your life than you can when you're actually in the moment, you know? I work with young people as well. You know, mm-hmm. You're well respected.
You was one of the first people I seen rap, bro. Like, you were the first, I think, local act I seen rap in person, bro. It was at the mosque, man, on Killingsworth and by Jeff. It was at the mosque.
Yeah, performed there,
and you was the first person I seen perform, bro. So,
wow.
I think subconsciously the MIC, the mic, might have came from you, bro.
So with the influence, that's dope, brother. I had heard about you before I met you, and I seen your name, and so I knew it. You also spelled your name MIC, and that your last, both you and I have the initials of MC. So
yeah.
I look forward to meeting you, and I actually went into a 7-Eleven on Killingsworth, right there on 15th and Killingsworth one night, and the guy who was working had a name tag, and it said MIC. And I was like, are you Mike Capes?
That's funny, bro.
It's cool. Like, you know, a couple people have actually like assumed that there would be some type of rivalry or something.
That's corny.
Like, nah, I'm not geared that way in terms of competing against my contemporary fellow black men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
like if anything, it's like if I admire somebody, I want to allow that to be a positive influence on me as opposed to like a threat or something. You feel me?
Yeah, facts.
But where do you, I mean, representing Black music, bro, as an MC,
yeah,
as a Black man in America, in an art form, and I've seen some threads that you very skillfully like offer some thoughts, but what is your, where are you at in terms of like knowing that this is Black music, but also knowing that this is a universal art form?
Yeah, I definitely believe it's black music and Latino music, Afro-Latino music.
Right.
I also understand that it's powerful enough to impact people outside of our own ethnicity or race, you know what I mean? But I think it's definitely home with us at the end of the day. But I think anybody can do it as long as, man, they respect and where it came from and the culture of it and understand what it's about and know that it's not just about gaining popularity or being noticed or trying to be the hardest person on the internet these days.
Well, how do you keep up? I mean, how do you balance the popularity contest aspect of being an entertainer and a professional artist versus the integrity and maintaining, not getting spread too thin, trying to keep up with the Joneses and stuff?
Man, my thing is, bro, I just look at it like the whole point is to stand out, and we all born one of one. We already stand out, so trying to veer off of that and be something you're not is only going to push you further down. You know what I mean? So I think when we be ourselves, we stand out at the end of the day. And that's how I kind of keep, that's my compass. And also just doing my music with purpose, not just putting something out because I feel pressured or operating with a shot clock in my head. I used to do that when I was younger, but I look at it like, man, the right words going to come to you when they need to come to you. And don't try to operate on the rules of the game. Operate on your compass and it'll pan out.
Real talk, bro. What are your some of your biggest goals that you have yet to achieve?
Biggest goals, man? Bro, I really want to tour. Yeah. That's been one that's been evasive for some reason, man. Like, not evasive, I guess I just never really had the education on how to start one or who to talk to do it. I've reached out to different people, but I've never, it's never came through. I had that plan for the pandemic year, but it became a pandemic, so.
So some of those things are opening up again, though, you know?
Yeah.
The sad part is, I'm cautiously optimistic, put it that way. But honestly, I don't have a lot of high expectations. I feel like we never really get on top of this thing. And so my thoughts are we're going to see another series of setbacks in terms of, you know, the economy functioning as it used to. That said, though, we see these festivals, huge festivals.
Man, huge. Up,
right? So we know cats are getting on the road and making it happen. Are you prepared? Are you ready to try to pick up the plan again that you were developing?
Yeah, I'm ready for all of that, man. My wife support what I do. She know this is a passion of mine. I'm not just going out of here. It's not, I would like to make a lot of money from this, but that's not my reason for doing this. And I feel like whenever you do something that you love, that money can't be the reason. But I'm ready to do it, bro. That's something I've been wanting to do for maybe like 4 years.
So you're a purpose-driven artist then?
Yeah.
So what is your purpose?
My purpose to me, man, is whether it's educating, whether it's inspiring, whether it's motivating, whether it's making people, not making, but helping people see different perspectives from different angles.
Uh-huh.
I think all of those are my purpose with music. You know what I mean? It's bigger than self. Of course, you like the compliments and the recognition and all of that, but like my music is used to impact people in a positive way or just impact them and make them think.
You know what's a beautiful thing, man, is Summer of Soul. Have you seen that yet?
I've been hearing about that, and I need to watch it as soon as I get off of this with you.
Yeah, I'm going to finish it tonight. I started it last night. It was so rich that I didn't even feel like I wanted to finish it in one sitting. I wanted to sit with the first part I watched and then come back to it. And it reminds me, I'm trying to remember, there was a documentary about the concert that was played in the Congo when Ali was fighting. And it had like James Brown and Roy Ayers. Man, that was a
good, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was dynamite. But this is just as good as that, except they're just in Harlem. They're not overseas. When you do get ready to go overseas, what are the first like, give me three places that you want to go that you would prioritize touring when you get ready?
That's a good question. I've never been asked. I think first off, I would go Nigeria.
Okay.
Just based off the history with us as Black people, and also me finding out that my blood derives from over there in Nigeria.
The majority of your genealogy is Nigerian, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Houseman. So
uh-huh.
There, I want to go there first. I feel like South Africa would be a good place to perform too.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I heard Germany is a good place for hip hop as well.
Yeah, Scene is live in Germany. Scene is definitely cracking in South Africa. I haven't been to West Africa yet, but I'm really, Nigeria keeps coming up. I've been getting in these deep conversations with different brothers I know that have actually been to Nigeria, some more than once.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to making it happen. We've actually been collaborating with a Nigerian artist named Pharaoh 47.
He went to PSU, or is he still there?
Yeah, he did. That's where my creative collaborator, Quincy Davis from Rebel Wise, met him. And so he's back in Nigeria. So we did a joint with him for the Rebel Wise album. And then he sent me a beat, and I recently, laced the collab digitally, virtually. And so I sent that back. He enjoyed it. So hopefully that'll be releasing soon. And keeping those relationships open so, we can physically go over there and do it. I've been doing this for a long time. I think when I was your age, I was looking at 35, like, oh man, I don't want to be the old rapper rapping when I'm 40. Yeah. I used to say that as if it was like a derogatory thing. But think about it is, if I was a jazz musician, people wouldn't expect me to stop playing jazz.
Exactly. Any other genre of music.
Right.
But I think since hip hop has been so commercialized and what it pushes at the forefront, like commercially, it makes it seem like there's an age limit to it. But like, when you really about the art and the craft of it, bro, it don't matter. Good music is good music. We got Jay-Z, E-40, Snoop, Black Thought, a bunch of guys. Hip-hop is only, 50 years old, if that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, we seen our first, or our second generation of OGs in hip-hop. It's young.
It's real, man. And I feel like when I listen to Black Thought or Pharaoh Monch, what I hear is a level of skill and passion and expertise that you can only have with decades,
Black Thought is incredible, bro.
Yeah, and it takes all of us. We need younger people, but we need the elders too. And that's the only way that a culture is going to be complete is if we have everybody contributed,
Right. It's something for everybody. I look at hip hop as kind of like an avalanche, man. Over the years, it just snowball, and it brings in different genres, and that somehow becomes infused with hip hop, and it just keep rolling. I believe it's unstoppable, honestly.
Yeah, man. So speaking of unstoppable, you've got a gig coming up. What you said, August 14th?
Yeah, I'm working on that one. I'm working on it.
So you can't. It's not ready to announce yet, as far as location or anything.
Nah.
Okay, man. So you don't have anything booked that you could let the people know about if they want to try to support you in the flesh?
Nah, but there will be, man. I'm thinking of doing I'm going to do a listening party for this project I'm putting out soon. I can't say the date of when I'm putting it out, but it's very soon, the project.
Uh-huh. So, and you say the name of the project or tell the people about it? Need to wait on it.
So I'm doing a four-part EP series called Courtesy of Capes, under the name Courtesy of Capes. And then each EP has a different name. The first one is called In Spite Of ... Mm. So like I said earlier, it's based in, proceeding, no matter what come up in your life, and saying attached to your purpose. not necessarily attached to the route, but staying attached to where you're trying to get to.
Man, it's been an honor talking to you. Always enjoy it. Love to see you doing what you do. So thank you for coming on Culture in Motion. And one more time for the people who might have tuned in late, if they want to find you online, where are they going to find you at?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mike Capes Raps. Raps, that's M-I-C-C-A-P-E-S, Raps. And on Facebook, just Mike Capes. And you can find my music on all the digital platforms, but preferably Bandcamp.
Yeah, because we get to keep all that revenue.
Definitely.
All right, brother. Have a good night, man, and thank you for coming through.
You too. Thanks.
Oh, Mike Capes, your mailbox is not full. This your dad and mom. Oh, it's going to be 90 degrees tomorrow because your mailbox is empty. That's good. Okay, that is love you. Okay, bye.
I just stay humble and hustle, stay humble and hustle. I stay humble and hustle, stay humble and hustle, stay humble and hustle. I just stay humble and hustle, focus on my goals and vision the bubble. I just stay humble and hustle, hopping in my mode, I run it but never fumble. Look, I got nothing to prove to no local. Big dog in this, I can coach him. Ain't concerned about happenings in the city limits. Facade free, no capping, these living gimmicks. I come from the trenches with living with low hope. Where we get the trapping and see success is a gold rope. I've been dreaming bigger or late. Had to self-reflect, had to elevate my goals. Out of self-respect, it's more to life than chasing after some recognition. Validation is poisonous, make you apprehensive. Do you do it for the love or is it using drugs? Defeat the ego instead of people, is you losing touch? Damn, these questions I had to ask myself. Hard-headed, I rarely ever do ask for help. Every time I rhyme, I'm making sure my passion felt. A champion is more than brand finish, Jesse belt. Damn, I just stay humble and hustle, stay humble and hustle. I stay humble and hustle, stay humble and hustle, stay humble and hustle. I just stay humble and hustle, focus on my goals and vision the bubble. I just stay humble and hustle, hopping in my mode, I run it but never fumble. Yeah, let me take you back to Interstate. Man, I know every single motel so well. I could give you floor plans, pallet on the floor, but I had more plans before I even had a core fan. We was stealing out of stores, we was poor, man. Lacked guidance, but was guided by the Lord's hand. Before I knew a Bible, survival was in our instincts. Father slinging cottage for dollars to make the ends meet. Yeah, he taught us how to hustle, taught us how to grind. He did what he had to do, he told us use our mind. Any passion that I had, he gave a helping hand. So when he found out I was rapping, he became my fan. Got me looking at pictures, trying to remember all the wisdom that he gave us before he passed. I can still hear his laugh. He had a plan for every obstacle, so anytime I'm in a jam, I'm thinking, what would Johnny do? Yeah, he would. Stay humble and hustle, stay humble and hustle. I stay humble and hustle, stay humble and hustle, stay humble and hustle. Yeah. I just stay humble and hustle, focus on my goals and vision the bubble. I just stay humble and hustle, hopping in my mode, I run it but never fumble.
Big Black Girl, this is your big bro Johnny. Just gonna let you know, man, keep with me all day, man. You know, hustle, grind, you know what I'm saying? It's in our DNA. You already know what it is. Love you. Love you.
Thank you. Cebu Community Radio and the Jazz Society of Oregon are delighted to present the 41st Annual Cathedral Park Jazz Festival broadcast July 16th, 17th, and 18th at Cathedral Park in North Portland. Cebu will begin the live broadcast this Friday at 4:30 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday's broadcast will get underway at 1 p.m. That's the 41st Annual Cathedral Park Jazz Festival broadcast Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Come on, let's be the change.
Want an impactful way to volunteer for KBOO? Believe in KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism,